There is no such thing as a problem without a gift for you in its hands. You seek problems because you need their gifts. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing at Campbell, California, with the Monk Talk. As you probably know, I have a great problem getting the monks to talk. They would like to go out and start their own churches. They'd like to go out and do their counseling and their teaching and their healing and all that good stuff. But to talk? It's as though you're going to be pulling teeth or something. But I keep telling them, there is no such thing as a problem without a gift for you in its hands. You seek problems because you need their gifts. Now, what could be a gift that would come from a problem? Well, if you will stop and think, everything before it was the solution came was considered to be a problem. Einstein had the problem of how the universe was functioning, and then he came up with the perpetual motion theory, right? Mm-hmm. The theory of relativity. Ah, yes. I was wondering if you were listening. He came up with the theory of relativity to give him a sense of purpose and understanding in how the universe operates. And so what did the other scientists do immediately upon his publishing the theory of relativity?
They tried to oppose.
They are doing their very utmost to prove that it's not the way. No. Einstein worked on the freedom theory. He just spoke his word and out it came. The other fellows are working on the negation theory. They're trying to prove it wrong, and they may prove parts of it wrong, but they cannot prove it all wrong, because Einstein listened. He listened to the divine within him to answer what a problem would have as an answer to it. Now, that's an easy way to do things. That's a very easy way. But if you're going to go and prove something wrong, you really have a lot of work on your hands, because proving something wrong is not so easy. To prove something's right is very easy, because the slate, the road, the conditions before you are wide open, ready for you to reveal the whole thing. It's a wonderful thing. Think about it. No matter what you need, whatever you need, it's all there. Now, I was just thinking about the bowl of fruit we have on the plate, on the table here. We have a plate of fruit on the Lazy Susan, and it has five or six pieces of fruit on it. And Ingeborg has been enjoying the grapes. And she'll reach out and she'll take the fistful of grapes and start eating them. And then she'll take what's left and stick it back on the plate with the grapes sticking out so it looks like nobody's eaten it. And then she'll take it again and she'll eat some more grapes. And then she'll stick it back there again with her crummy old fingers all over the grapes and making us all feel yucky about it, you know. We teach our children, if you want something, take it, but don't play with it. And it seems like that problem is that she's playing with it. Oh, now she's going to take it again. This time she's apparently going to keep it. Well, now that's nice too. Now, did the problem get solved? Well, if not solved, at least it was remedied. But this is what we do a lot of times. A lot of times we just thoughtlessly do our own little thing and we forget what our mother taught us. Our mother said, don't play with the food. If you're going to eat it, take it. If you're not going to eat it, don't handle it. Remember, somebody else is going to eat it. Now, we have a lot of fruit here. And I look at the fruit and I say to myself, how many pickers' hands have that gone through? Out in the plum orchard, out in the pear orchard, and the apple orchard, these apples were picked off the tree or picked off the ground and found to be not bruised. And so then they were gently rubbed off on the guy's pants or something like that and put into the basket. and taken to the place where they put in baskets to ship them out, and they put little labels on it. They say, this is by this checker. I checked it over, and it's all good, and it's all okay. And, of course, nobody ever checks to see if the checkers were any good or not. But so the checkers are working away, and they're rubbing their nose with their hand because they had little sniffles. And so they're adding the sniffles as a gift to everyone who picks up the fruit. So now, normally...
Huh? It's all divine herb.
Normally, that's interesting. Normally, mother would take the fruit that she gets at the store and puts it under the water faucet and rinses it off a little bit. It doesn't get off of the fruit all of the other things that are on it, but at least it looks a little better. At this place here, in the monastery, we don't do that. We don't wash the fruit. We don't clean the fruit. We don't clean anything.
We learned that from you.
Not to clean it.
Because we said once, if you wash it, the micro, the, what are they called, the micro?
The bacteria?
The bacteria become really alive. Even with the warm water, they really get it even better. And from that day, I have never washed the fruit here on campus.
Well, that's wonderful. I will not say I don't ever remember saying something like that or even having an opinion like that, because it isn't something that I think of in that way, but if you say I said it, then I said it. So, okay. Henceforth, we don't wash the fruits.
Mm-hmm.
And Ingeborg, we would appreciate it if you would play with the fruit more often so that it would be totally unwashed, you know. Rolled it on the floor and things like that so the puppies can play with it, you know. And no, you don't want to do that? But that's a nice, I'm giving you a problem. And how are you facing that problem? Ellen Geremini, you have been with me now these 3,000 plus years.
Uh-huh.
And you know what I say. I say there's no such thing as a problem without a gift for you in its hands.
Mm-hmm.
You seek problems because you need their gifts. Today, San Francisco is south of San Diego. Tomorrow, San Francisco is in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
Am I allowed to do that?
Sure.
Today, I say don't wash the fruit because the bacteria are beneficial on the surface of the fruit. Tomorrow, I say wash the fruit.
Okay.
Now, are you to wash the fruit?
Whatever the last issue is, we will follow.
Well, why did you say that I had said before you shouldn't do that?
That was the last issue.
No, it wasn't. The last issue was that I said you should wash the fruit just now.
Okay.
That's the last issue now.
You're right. Yes,
I mean, how far back do you want to go? There's only the now. So these are little problems that we're facing. Little problems of following the program. And is it convenient for you to say, you told us to do it this way? Or is it convenient to say, a new way to do it. Thank you, Herb. A new way of looking at it. Thank you. Because that's what I want you to do. I want you to always have your minds open and receptive to new ways. Because otherwise, what's the benefit of this school? If you do not learn to discipline yourself, to follow whatever it is you choose to think and say at the moment, and that's going to change. Your ideas about things change from moment to moment. Ellen?
Yes?
Go take the Cadillac and take a drive in it. Now, you see, Ellen's having a quandary. She's, remember, we did have a Cadillac for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And that Cadillac was removed. And it's not there to drive. Now, all Ellen has to say is, give me the keys and tell me where it is, and I'll do so. We don't have a Cadillac. We don't own a Cadillac. We owned one, but we got rid of it. Now, I know everything we own, because, I mean, I'm the CEO, and so I know everything we own. I know everything we're doing. You see, to argue for your limitations, and they're yours, if I say, go take the Cadillac and do something. Alan said, fine. Give me the keys and tell me where it is, and I'll go do it. No problem. Doesn't it sound logical?
Very much.
Doesn't it sound stupid? Like the most simple, stupid thing in the world, but we don't do that because, you see, you know too much. Now, what you may not know is that I ordered a fleet of Cadillacs for everybody here on campus.
Wow.
And all brand new sport cars, you know, and convertibles for all of us, even Ingeborg. And they're sitting right outside there.
I have a red one, right?
Of course you have a red one. Who would give you anything but a red car? You know. There's no such thing as a problem without a gift in its hands for you. Now, what's the gift in its hands for you of the new red Cadillac you're getting, you have?
That I just sit in and it goes by itself. I don't even know, need to do anything.
That wasn't what I bought.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I bought a standard Cadillac, you know.
Oh.
I didn't buy one of the Cadillacs from year 3000.
Mm.
From the year 3000, you just say you want to go someplace and you're there.
Right.
Or if you want to go in a car because it pleases you, you just say, car, come. And the car comes and picks you up wherever you are. And you can be in a very busy area. And the car just comes there and gently lowers itself to where you are. You climb in and then it goes, the car, take me to Campo, you know. And it takes you to Campo.
Mm-hmm.
No problem. Now, can you conceive such a thing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
If you can conceive such a thing, so logically put, now you must learn to conceive things illogically put. You seek problems because you need their gift. And their gift is, it's no logic that does it. It's just recognizing that it's done. We had our seminar, 7-day seminar at Montebrea, and in the seminar, we had things going on, you know, that were distracting. And so each time that would go on, I would point my finger, and then somebody would say, I am peace. And in a very short time, everybody got the message for themselves. And they no longer were contesting one another. They were no longer feeling put upon. Now, we had several people there in the seminar who acted as though it wasn't really what they wanted to do. They acted as though this was beneath them. They acted as though they were superior to all the members of the seminar. And as they acted this way, I gave them little challenges, and they rose to the challenge. And in the process, they became aware that, hey, they were missing something. They were missing something because what they were doing was analyzing the organization, analyzing the group, analyzing what was going on, and not enjoying what was going on, really participating. Because everybody else was giggling and laughing and doing all sorts of wonderful things, and these people were sitting back sort of with sour faces. Well, by saying, I am peace, each one, it sort of took away all the tension, took away all the feeling of self-righteousness, took away all the feeling that they had to do something, had to get something out of this meeting. And the minute they stopped trying to get something out of the meeting, then they began to get something out of the meeting. And this is often true for all of us. The minute we stop trying to educate ourselves, and then we stop trying to say that we're so wonderful and we're so good, we find out that we are not only wonderful and good, but we're very wonderful and very good. But we would never have known that if the problem hadn't come along and helped us to waken up to who we really are. There is no such thing as a problem without a gift in its hands for you. And you don't know what that gift is. You think it's just the answer to the problem. Well, that's the most simple part of the gift. That's the most unimportant part of the gift. The most important part of the gift is that you have a new revelation of who you are and what you're doing and where you're going and what your values are. And that's mighty wonderful. So think of this. You seek problems because you enjoy their gifts. Now, Richard Bach said in his statement here, you need their gifts. But I would say you enjoy their gifts. Because now you know why you have those problems. I love you. I love you. I love you. You're all a bunch of wonderful beings.
Thank you.